We are reminded, as if we need the reminder via what we're watching being perpetrated in Ukraine, that there is evil in this world. There was evil at the beginning, and the Bible tells us there will be evil in the end. And this is what happens with Satan having the rule of the earth. Who says this is so? Well, one example, Jesus in John chapter 12, verse 31, where Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler, Satan of this world, will be cast out." Evil throughout time has also had its share of supporters. In Exodus 32, we read about the people who grew impatient with Moses, turned to Aaron, and demanded that he build them a god to lead them to the promised land. That's revealed in Exodus chapter 32, verses 2 through 5. "And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.'" Today we have cable news hosts and those who want to be considered as pundits openly showing support for Russia rather than Ukraine by using the false words being used by Russians. Juxtapose that with the video of the little Ukrainian boy sent to safety in Poland on his own, walking down the road crying. If you haven't seen that video, it's over on our Facebook page. You'll have to scroll down a bit to get to it, but it's a painful reminder of the reality that the people of Ukraine are facing of all ages. As I said, evil will even thrive with supporters in the end times, even though a way to redemption will still be offered after the rapture when Christians are taken up to heaven and the non-believers are left behind. Tribulation will commence. In Revelation 11, we read that two messengers will be sent to prophecy. The angel tells us to John in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 11, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, a fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that descends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow the dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them. They stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them." Now, there's been a long debate about who those two messengers will be. Moses, Abraham, David, Elijah, Daniel, Joseph, they've been among the names. But take notice of verse 9, which says that all will see their bodies. Given the capabilities of communication media today, that won't be difficult at all to do, will it? And when you read what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, your question of why evil is so widespread is answered. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." You know, think of that narrow gate as you would a narrow parking space. You need to be more aware, more careful, more attentive, more confident, or else something really costly is going to happen. On a far more important note, it's Jesus who has made it possible for you to overcome and stand against evil. That was established even before Jesus came into the flesh. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, which tells of what's to be. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." This is certainly spiritual warfare that we are all a part of, which is why Paul urges us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 13, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I want to invite you to visit our website, issuesandideasradio.com, along with all the features. We also have a special page that we put together for you to directly help organizations that are helping the people in Ukraine, as well as refugees in places including Poland and Hungary. You'll find the graphic link on our homepage at issuesandideasradio.com. Take time to give of yourself to help those who certainly have needs. Always appreciate your time and attention. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Be sure to join us this time next week for our next edition of Issues and Ideas.